you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
There are two primary characters in our text in Luke chapter 8. It's a man by the name of Jairus and Jesus. There are other people in the text, but again, the primary characters that we need to be concerned about are Jairus and Jesus. When you consider in Luke 8, 41 and 42, Luke tells us, first of all, that Jairus is a church leader. The text says that he is a ruler in the synagogue. We would just basically say he was a leader in God's church. Now, when it comes to Jairus, the text brings out something that is very important to young people, to parents, young adults. Jairus had a problem. In truth, when you consider the text, he had a major problem. See, in life, young folk, you're going to have minor problems and you're going to have major problems. And as you grow, it's important to make sure that you prioritize what's going on in your life. Okay? You're going to have to learn how to prioritize. Even when it comes to your problems in life, there are certain things that happen in your life or will happen. You need to have the mindset, look, this is a problem, but it's a small problem. Right. Or this is a problem, but this is a major problem. Jairus' problem was major because his only child, who was 12 years old, she was at home dying. The text doesn't reveal what she was going through, what was taking place in her personal life. All we know is that the young girl, this preteen, she was dying. And see, it was happening literally. This girl was at home about to die. But because there is nothing new under the sun, you still have young people in our day and time that are dying from a literal and a figurative standpoint. You have both in our day and time. You have some young people right now, they are literally dying. One reason young people are experiencing death is because they are choosing to practice sin. See, the Bible is clear in Romans 6 and 23. The wages of sin is death. Now get this, sin is pleasurable. You and I, we enjoy sin. We know it's wrong, but we enjoy it. But when sin, according to James, is fully birthed, a person will experience death. And see, if you're here this morning and you're in a place in your life, or even if you're watching the broadcast and you're in a place in your life to where you know you are doing that which is wrong, though you may enjoy it, I'm here to let you know, you are dying. You are dying. Literally. And if you die, in sin, you're going to experience eternal death. And you don't want to die in sin and experience eternal death, because once you're gone from earth, after a man died, he must be judged. And if a person dies in sin, the Bible says the soul that sins will die. Good God Almighty. And I don't want to lift up my eyes in a place called hell, experiencing eternal death. What about you? Oh, no. We be having some 97-degree days, and it be hot just dealing with that. But can you imagine what the Bible says about hell? It's so hot, the flames are so hot that they cannot be quenched. I just can't deal with that much heat. So I'm making it my business to make sure I don't practice sin and die in sin. Because we do have an alternative. Yeah, the gift of God is eternal life, but it comes through Christ Jesus. If you repent of your sin and make Jesus your Lord and your Savior, then you will have victory over death. Good God Almighty. That's some good news right there. That's some good news for a young person that's listening to the message this morning that feel like they can't come out of what they're going through. Yes, you can. All you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. For whosoever call on that name shall be saved or delivered. But then you have some of us, it's not that we're practicing sin. We're living right, but we're still experiencing death. Yeah. You can be living right, but still experience bad, ruin, tough times, hardship. And you got young folk in here like that as well. Oh, you got a prayer life. You come to church. You heed the word, but you're still experiencing tough times. Boy, am I talking to anybody in here? Is the Lord talking about you? Yeah, you're going to have young people that experience tough times in their personal life, in their family, in their body, mentally, emotionally, and so forth. Why? Those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. And one aspect of death is being persecuted or going through suffering. And see, in life, young folk, I don't care how good of your grades you make. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care who your parents are. You and I, we're going to experience some tough times in life. You and I are going to experience some things that if the Lord don't help us, it just ain't going to be no help. If the Lord don't extend his arm, we ain't going to come out. If he don't turn his face toward us, all hope would be lost. But I'm here to let you know it's not that situation. We have a God that is concerned about what we go through. We have a God that Peter revealed we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And so in the midst of probably his biggest problem in life, Jairus doesn't try to handle it on his own. Good God Almighty. I said, Jairus doesn't try to handle it on his own. He does something that we need to learn from. Because you have some young people at this church, when they get to going through different problems, you know what you do? You get wise in your own sight. You try to handle certain problems on your own. Well, let me see what Google say. Well, maybe I need to see a psychiatrist. What maybe I need to do this. Grandmama said do this. Auntie said do that. But we need to learn from what Jairus did when we have problems in our life. Jairus sought after Jesus. He went after the Lord, the second primary character. He went after Jesus. He went begging to him. And he fell on his face asking him, look, come to my house and help me with my problem. And see, young folk, that's some wisdom we need to learn from. Whether we have a minor problem or a major problem in our life, the best thing to do is to seek the Lord. Lord, how can I solve this problem in my life? How can I solve this money problem? How can I solve this debt problem? How can I solve this sickness? How can I solve what's going on in my life? You and I have to have the mindset that the one that can help us like nobody else is Jesus. Why, Pastor? Because Jesus' name means Savior. Jesus' name means Deliverer. And if there's anyone that can help you and I in our day of trouble, it is Jesus. Now look at this. Jairus' name means God will enlighten. That's what his name means. God will what? Enlighten. He went to Jesus because he knew that the Lord could give him some revelation or give him what he needed to deal with his problem. And as a young woman and as a young man, that's the same mindset you and I have to have. Lord, I got this problem and I'm coming to you. You're going to enlighten me. You're going to help me solve this issue or issues that are in my life. Now, let me pause right there. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but that's some good teaching right there. The Lord will enlighten you and help you deal with the cares of your life. Solomon said, if we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, you know what he would do? He would enlighten us or direct our path. Are y'all up this morning? Are y'all listening? And see, I don't know what you're dealing with. And I don't know what's going to be before you in the days ahead in detail. But I do know you need to have the mindset that the Lord will enlighten you. But we got to have that same mindset. I got to seek the Lord. When I have problems in my life, seek the Lord. Say that with me. Say, when I have problems in my life, I need to seek the Lord. Some of y'all didn't even participate. Come on, church, say, when I have problems in my life, I need to seek the Lord. That's it. I need to find out what is it that my God wants me to do, how he wants me to handle this particular situation. Before I deal with the meat of the text, can I break that down some more? Let me show you why we need to seek the Lord as young men and as young women. Let's look at a couple of truths. Let's go to Psalm 34. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. There have been times in my life as a young man and as an adult, I just thought I was smart enough to deal with certain things. And I was on that dumb stuff, and I would try to handle them on my own. But you know what I ended up doing? Making the situation worse. And then sometimes I figured some things out, but it took me a while. And God couldn't get the total glory because I would have the testimony, I did that. But see, God wants to get the glory in every area of our life. All right, let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and let's look at why we need to seek the Lord like Jairus. Why? Why we need to seek the Lord like Jairus? Psalm 34, and notice, if you will, verse number 10. Y'all quiet because you're listening? All right, Psalm 34 and 10. Let's see what the psalmist has to say. You ready? The lions, or the young lions, lack and suffer, help me, hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, some of y'all act like you can't read. Let's pick it up at the butt. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So when you and I have problems and we seek the Lord, he gonna make sure we don't go lacking. He gonna make sure. He gonna make sure we don't lack any good thing. talking to him in prayer, searching the scripture, listening to the message again, trying to find your answer from the Lord. When he sees you and I doing that, he gonna make sure, oh, she ain't gonna lack any good thing. I'm gonna make sure she have everything that she need, plus. See, that's the type of God we have. He gonna give us what we need, plus. Why? He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask or think. So God gonna make sure you and I have everything good plus. Woo, y'all didn't get happy. Say everything good plus. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18. Let's go to the New Testament. Again, we're looking at why we need to seek the Lord. Need to quit looking on social media for your answers. Quit jumping to go to YouTube for your answers. And start seeking who? Seeking the Lord. Lord, what you want me to do? Now, we can use different things for research and so forth. But the Bible says Jesus is the way. He gonna tell us everything we need to do and what we need to know. Look at Luke 18, 27. Another reason we need to seek the Lord. And this is Jesus talking. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Another reason we need to seek the Lord, because there are certain things that's impossible with men. Man is limited. I love that Jairus didn't run to the hospital. He didn't run to the doctor. No, he ran to Jesus. Now, if Jesus tell me to go to the hospital, guess where I'm going? To the hospital. But if he tell me to do something else, guess what I'm going to do? Something else. Whatever the Lord tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Why? Because heaven and earth shall pass, but not God's word. It's amazing how people will take the word of a so-called professional over Jesus. That's just so amazing to me. And it happened in the Bible. People wouldn't listen to Paul. They would listen to professionals instead of listening to Paul. They didn't believe God's report. And you got young adults and young folk like that. They'll consider what a celebrity say before their own pastor. Or they'll consider what social media say instead of God's word. We don't need to be like that. We need to realize man is limited. God can do anything. Am I right about it? Last one, John 16, 13. Now, some of y'all know this verse. You just didn't know where it was. John 16, 13. I'm giving you reasons we need to be like Jairus and seek the Lord. And it's going to take you renewing your mind, transforming your habits. You got to get in the habit of acknowledging the Lord like Jairus. John 16, 13. However, when he, help me out, the Spirit of truth has come, what will he do? He will guide you into all truth. Let's stop right there. That's why we need to seek the Lord like Jairus did. The Spirit of God is going to tell us exactly what we need to do. And if he don't say nothing to you, guess what? You don't do nothing. Used to have this game we used to play back in the day called Simon Says. Simon said, put up your hand. Guess what you do? You do what Simon said. You put up your hand. Simon says, bark like a dog. Guess what you do? Bark like a dog. Then they try to trick you and say, turn in a circle. No, I ain't turning in a circle. Why? Simon didn't say. Same concept when it comes to the Lord. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will by no means follow. And so, young folk, when we start having problems in life, whether they be minor or major, seek the Lord. He's going to tell you what to do. Whether it's about your class, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your cousin, your parents, or yourself, he will guide us into how much truth? All truth. You don't even have to go to college to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. You ain't got to have no degree. Just be conscious of God, and he going to guide you and I in the what? All truth. He going to do it by speaking either directly or indirectly. God will speak directly to you. He'll speak in your conscience or in your spirit what you need to do or not do, or he'll use somebody else. Directly or indirect. How many got it by a show of hands? This is very important. We need to do just like Jairus. How many have problems in your life? By a show of hands. Yeah. It's amazing how you have some people, someone they love may die in their life. And they may be over it in 2 weeks. But then somebody else have somebody that they love in their life. 2 weeks done passed, they still hurt. 2 months done passed, they still. Everybody deals with problems differently. The thing is, Lord, I know you want me to move on in life. What do you need me? What do I need to do so I'm not depressed? What do I need to do, Lord? Because you don't want me depressed. He'll tell you what to do. Even though it was someone you love that passed. And see, one of the main things God going to tell you is according to his word, look, everybody going to die. And that, you say, Pastor, that's tough. No, it's once appointed for man to die. Everybody is going to experience death. And sometimes our loved ones die before we desire. But you have to learn how to deal with that as a young man or a young woman. Sometimes you have troublesome events that happen in your family. How do you deal with a man beating on your mama? And that ain't happening to none of your friends. You can't go to them. And you seeing this happening in your, how do you deal with that? You know who can deal with that? Help you deal with that? The Lord. How do you deal with certain mistakes that you make and you can't get over that you did it, but life's still going on? You can't be stuck. You messed up. Admit it, learn from it, but you got to move on. And you'd be like, it's so easy for you to say that. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to learn how to deal with problems like that. You got to learn how to deal with problems like that. When everybody else happy and you still stuck. Lord, what do I need to do to get unstuck? Problems in life is going to happen. It happens in those that got one parent, two parents, or absentee parents. Everybody gonna have problems. But it's important for us to remember Jairus. We got to seek the Lord to help me deal with my problem. And so, check this out. Jairus sought the Lord and his problem got worse. He went after Jesus and his daughter still died. See, sometimes, young folk, in life, you can be praying, given, faithful in church, and your problems will still get worse. You be singing along with the praise team. At midnight, he gonna turn it around. Well, it's 2 o'clock, and it still ain't been, naturally speaking, turned around. And you got some young folk and young adults right now. Sometimes it cross your mind, well, I've been praying. And what I want to happen ain't happening. I done been to the altar. He done put all that grease on me, laid hands on me, gave me a scripture. I felt the spirit, but my problem got worse. Anybody ever been there before? That's just a part of life sometimes. Sometimes your problems get worse before they get better. But the blessing is it's going to get better. We just don't know how long it's going to take to get better. Because we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen, young folks, sometimes things get worse. Sometimes the very thing that you wish don't happen, it happens. And that's where Jairus is at. He done went to the Lord and got all down on the ground, and his daughter still died. But Jesus shows up to the house, and he tells him, look, don't be fearful. Just believe. Only believe. In our day and time, just trust the Lord. Just trust God. What our bishop has been hearing from the Lord for the past several weeks, young folk got to adhere to it too. No matter what you're going through, just trust the Lord. Have faith. Believe his written and his revealed word. Even though it looks bad, even though things aren't going the way you desire them to go, just only believe. Just trust me. Just trust me. It's going to work out. I said it's going to work. It's going to work out. There's somebody, Rhema, in here on this morning. Look, just trust the Lord as a young person. You got to remember folk like Daniel, who was looking at the mouth of the lion's den, but he was still trusting the Lord. The Hebrew boys, they were looking at the flame of fire that was lit 7 times hotter, but they were still trusting the And young folk, the same thing. When we get to going through things, we got to trust. We got to trust the Lord. And that's the message this morning. That's the rhema. Look, no matter where you are, no matter what you're dealing with, remember who in control. Remember who got all authority in heaven and in earth and beneath. God got complete control. He run this thing. Don't nothing get past God. His eye is in every place. He know how you hurting. He know your financial state. He know your credit report. He know how many times you've been turned down. He know what your mama dealing with. He know what's going on in your family. Don't nothing get past God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And nothing is impossible for our God. He can do anything. Say fear. I'm getting excited up in here. Maybe I'm the only one. I said our God is in control. And get this. He won't put no more on you than you can bear. So what you're going through right now is tailor-made just for you. God know exactly what you can handle mentally. He know exactly what you can handle physically. He know exactly what you can handle in your family, financially, and so forth. He won't put no more on you and I than we can bear. Good God Almighty. We ought to just start praising God right there, because what I'm going through is not too much for me. My family can't handle it. My friends can't handle it. But me and my God, we can handle this thing. And so sometimes, let me tell you something. Y'all sit down. Y'all know what I had to learn? I had to learn I don't need to always pray, Lord, bring me out. Because sometimes what we're going through is meant to make us mature. Sometimes what we're going through, it causes us, or it's been sent to cause us to man up or to mature. Stop being childish. Stop being petty. Stop being someone who delights in having a pity party. You got young folk and grown folk just like that. You want folk to feel sorry for you. But I ain't going to feel sorry for you, because we all got to endure hardness as a good soldier. We all got a battle we got to go through. Now, we're going to pray that the strong bear the infirmities of the weak, but you and I, we got to pick up our cross, and we got to come on and follow Jesus. Everybody got something that they're going through. Am I right about it? Everybody got something they're going through. Jairus, even though his daughter died, he was looking for a turnaround. He was looking for restoration. And see, we got to have that mindset, young folk. Even when things get bad, go to worse, we still have the mindset God can cause restoration. God can turn it around. I said God can turn it around. But we first got to only believe or trust him. And so this is what I want to do. I want to look at the text, and I want to break down how he got restoration. But we need to look at some of the truths in the text. Are y'all still with me? Man, if you get this as a teenager, you're going to be on point. How many want to be on point? Well, get it right. Get it right now. Let's look at Luke 8 and verse 50. Let's look at the three truths that Jesus dealt with in the text in order for Jairus to get restoration. Because we done read this text. We know what's going to happen in the end, right? Okay? So how did he get there? Let's look at verse 50 first. Luke 8 and 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she shall be made well. So the first point, which I have already dealt with, is trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Well, how do we trust the Lord? We trust the Lord by simply taking heed to his written and revealed word. That's how you trust the Lord. It's more than just what you and I say. It's about what we do and how we think also. I have to abide by God's word. And when I'm doing that, God knows that I am trusting him. If the Lord say, go wash in the Jordan seven times, and I don't do it, then that's evident that I'm not what? I'm not trusting. But if I go wash seven times in the Jordan, then I'm trusting him. If he tell me to keep praying, and I stop praying, then I'm not what? I'm not trusting him. But if I continue to pray, it's obvious that I am trusting him. Y'all got it? Look at this. Psalm 37. Just read it right here. Psalm 37 and 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll what? He shall bring it to pass. Y'all didn't read that right. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The key I want you to see, young folk, when it comes to trust, it requires commitment. You just can't do it one time or for 2 days. We have to commit our ways to him. I have to keep doing what he told me to do until he brings it to pass. And then when he brings it to pass, I continue to do it because he's shown me that his promises or his word, it works. If he tells me giving is my way out of debt, I need to give. But then when he bring me out of debt, that don't mean I stop giving. No, I need to continue to give. Why? Because giving was my way out. Are y'all following me? So when I trust him, I need to stay committed. So you got some grown folk and some young adults that want to be treated like they are grown, but they ain't committed. They ain't dedicated. You can't expect God to deem you as someone that is trusting him and you don't come to church the way you need to. You come to church when you feel like it. You ain't trusting God. You lean into your own understanding. But when you can keep the commitment, even when you are going through things, Lord, I'm just going to keep coming and hearing your word and putting the word in action, then God can say, look, that young lady or that young man is trusting me. You have to stay committed. You have to stay committed. Whether it's coming to church, praying, or what have you, we have to stay committed if we're truly trusting the Lord. Can't be up and down. Y'all help me out. Say, you can't be up and down. No, no, no. We have to be committed or faithful. See, the Bible says that a faithful man or a committed man will abound in blessing. But see, if you're not faithful or committed in whatever it is the Lord told you to do, blessing's not going to overtake you. You and I have to be committed. That is an attribute of trusting the Lord. It's just like some young folk, they praise God every now and then. When I come in church, I'll be seeing young folk every now and then, they'll be standing like this, just watching the praise team. I'm like, ain't no commitment there. But then you come in on some Sundays and they getting with, they up and down. See, you got to change that. You got to start giving him the praise continually. Not just when you feeling it or it's your favorite song. Am I right about it? Am I Bible? All right, let's go to Luke. Luke 8. So the first thing that we see took place for restoration, he was trusting the Lord. That Jairus was committed. He was seeking the Lord, worshiping, brought him to his house. He wasn't perfect, but he was trying to do what the Lord told him to do. Okay, let's look at Luke 8, 51 and 54 through 54. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to do what? To go in except for who? Read it. Peter, James, and John. And the father and mother of who? Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside. When you and I are believing God for restoration, for God to turn things around, make things better, don't permit certain people and things in your life. You cannot allow certain people and certain things to be in your life if they're not on the same page that the Lord is on. He put them out. He put them out. Y'all ain't talking right. I told y'all not to fear. I told y'all to trust. Get out. You know what Jesus did? Can I break it down? You know what he did? He cut the cord. That's what he did. He cut the cord. He had relationships with these folk, but he just cut those relationships. He cut the cord. Isn't it amazing in our day and time how people only talk about cutting the cord when it comes to cable? You know, get rid of all these extra channels. Get rid of that big bill. Just cut the cord. But see, let me add to that. When you're believing God for restoration, you're believing God to turn things around, there are certain people and certain things in your life you just need to take out the scissors and just cut the cord. Woo! You believe in God to turn things around in your life mentally, you don't need to listen to everybody. You don't need to tell everybody your problems. Just take out your scissors and cut the cord. You can't listen to every kind of music when you believe in God to turn things around in your life. Some music I have you thinking totally contrary against the will of God. Cut the cord from that music and get that out of your life. There are even some family members you can't talk to because they just negative. They just don't talk word. They don't talk faith. You just have to cut the cord. Are y'all afraid to tell folk you don't want to fool with them? I tell folk, look, I don't want to hear it. Go in the other room and close the door when you leave. We used to say back in the day, let the doorknob hit you with a good Lord split you. Look, I don't want to deal with what you bringing to the table. And let me tell you something, young folk. You have to learn how to cut the cord. Some of y'all don't act like you don't want to receive it. You got some folk in your life that's hindering you from being restored. You better cut the cord, because you're going to be just like the folk you hang around. If a wise man walk with the wise, the Bible say, he himself shall be wise. But if you keep walking with folk that don't want to have nothing to do with the Lord, you're going to end up being influenced or persuaded the same way the Bible said. Let the righteous choose his friends carefully, because the wicked leads them astray. You're going to be influenced. They like to sleep in on Sunday. But you keep hanging around and spending the night with them. Guess what? That same spirit going to get on you. You're going to be, well, why can't I sleep in? They like to go to the club. They like to roll dice. They like to smoke cigarettes and do all of that. You keep hanging around. I'm just trying to win them. No. No, you need to first be converted, then you can strengthen somebody else. But when you doing what they doing every other weekend, you ain't truly converted yet. You don't need to be hanging around that. Restoration need to take place in your life before you can help them. Back when I first got saved, this too tough for y'all. Back when I first got saved and I was on the campus of West Georgia, I had to get totally delivered before I could go certain places and talk about Jesus. But when the Lord had delivered me, you know where we used to go witness at? To the club. Now, we didn't go in the club. We was in the parking lot. But we would go to the parking lot of the club and just let young folk know about Jesus. And I didn't have to worry about going into the club because I heard an old song that I used to like. I had been converted. I had the truth on the inside of me, so I didn't have to worry about temptation leading me to go back into the club. See, you can't really do that until God has strengthened you. And the primary way he strengthens his folk is through the Holy Spirit. You got to get some power on the inside of you. So when you do go around certain folk that you deem your friends, that's out of the will of God, they won't easily persuade you or influence you to do what you have no business doing. Am I talking to the house? Got to cut the cord. If you're going to be restored, look at somebody say, if you're going to be restored, you got to cut the cord. Just like Jesus, he put them out. They were laughing at him. Talking about them, get out. Get the stepping. Get out. Bye. We got to have that same mindset, young folk. That same mindset. If somebody is hindering you from thinking, talking, or doing according to the will of God as a young man or a young woman, it don't matter who it is, cut that cord. Cut that cord. Your sister, your brother, or whoever. Your friend, your teammate, pass the ball, shoot, run, so forth. But that's as far as our relationship is going to go. No, we ain't streaming together. I don't want to talk to you. I only want to talk to you when I'm playing 2K and so forth. I don't want to hit. No, I got to unfollow you because you be on that dumb stuff. And see, this type of preaching won't help me to be popular, but I want you to have the truth. I want you to have the truth. This type of preaching may get you to talk about me, and I do know some young folk talk about me. I done heard the reports. God done allowed me to know some things. So I'm over that right now. I done outgrow that. But I want young folk to have the truth because the truth is what's going to make us free. Talk about me when you eating your Popeyes. That's cool. That's all right. That's a part of the package of being a pastor. But I'm going to tell you the truth because woe be unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I got to tell young folk the truth. I got to lay it down in our hometown. I got to cry loud, lift up my voice like a trumpet and spare not, show God's people their sins. Do it, young folk. I got to do it, and I hope I don't become your enemy for doing it. I hope I don't become your enemy for telling you the truth. Look at somebody and help pastor say, you got to cut the cord. You got to cut the cord. And listen to this. Sometimes you have to cut the cord on yourself. You have to deny yourself, because sometimes self be acting funny. Am I right about it? I said sometimes self be acting funny. You trying to get delivered from porn, but self want to watch porn? You have to deny your self. No booty movies today. No, not going to watch it. No, I'm not going to watch it. I got to deny myself. It's young folk at this church. They got issues with porn. You got to cut the cord. Cut the cord. Get that off your Roku. Get that off Netflix. Go ahead, get in the parental advisory and just go ahead and block that 17 and over. Just go ahead and start cutting the cord. And you know what's going to happen? For the first few days, you're going to really miss it. You're going to be hurting. But that's that flesh craving it. Go ahead and just make that flesh hurt. Go ahead and call a fast and say, look, I'm going to get this flesh in the place it needs to be. I'm going to skip the meal tomorrow because this flesh cutting up and wanting that porn. This flesh is cutting up and wanting that weed. You got to cut the cord, young folk, on other folk and on yourself. You got to make yourself pray. You know you should be praying. You ain't praying. You got to cut. Nah, we going in there to pray. I'm going to put this doggone phone down for a good 30 minutes, and I'm going to go in there and read my word, and I'm going to talk to my God. I'm going to put this flesh under subjection so God can restore me. You're not going to get restored on grandmama prayer. You're not going to get restored on daddy's prayer. You have to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You got to work it out yourself. You got to say, man, I got to pray. A day can't go by without me praying. If I got time to be on TikTok, if I got time to be on IG, if I got time to go to school, if I got time to go to work, if I got time to go to sleep, then surely I got some time to seek the Lord because I know I need some restoration. I know I need to get better. I know I want better. I know I want bigger. I got to cut the cord on myself. Got time to just lay around and do nothing, you could be seeking the Lord. Got time to play video games, you can be seeking the Lord if you haven't been consistently. And so he cut the cord. And again, sometimes we have to cut the cord on people, and sometimes we have to do it on ourselves. I'm going to tell y'all something. I know we've been on Rona, right? And been going through this Rona thing. And so some things have changed in the ministry. My flesh was like, well, y'all ain't got all these ministry days. You might as well stop fasting on Tuesday. I was like, oh, no, flesh. I hear you. I got to cut the cord. You're going to keep fast. And then I got some other personal days that I fast also, too, besides just Tuesday. You know, flesh would be like, ain't no need of doing that. The ministry cutting back. You might as well. I said, oh, no. I'm not going to let you trick me. I'm going to stay in the place I need to be. I'm telling you, self can be a trip. I said, self can be a trip. And so you have to cut the cord or discipline yourself. It's just like an athlete. All these athletes in here, you ain't getting no better unless you got the discipline to put in the work. If you don't have the discipline to put in the work, you are not going to get better. We were watching high school football this weekend or yesterday, and I did not know that the number one recruit in the whole country, according to Sports Illustrated, is out of this school in Atlanta. This boy that play football, he is the number one recruit in the entire country. Wide receiver, and he plays safety. And he's on punt return. He even threw the ball as a quarterback during the game. The boy was doing everything. But in order for him to get there, guess what? He had to put in the work. He had to discipline himself. Same precept when it comes to being a Christian, young folk. Same thing. We have to put our flesh under subjection, especially when we want God to restore some things. So cut the cord. Last trait, and we out of here. Y'all learning? All right. Look at verse 55. Then her spirit returned. Jesus spoke a word to her, right? He told her, arise. We saw that in verse 54. Y'all still with me? So he spoke a word to her, arise. In 55, then her spirit, what did it do? Returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. If we're going to be restored, like this girl, we have to respond to the word. A dead girl heard the word, and she obeyed the word. in their dead, but the Lord spoke a word, little girl, arise, and she responded. She responded, and her life was totally changed. As a young person, we have to do likewise. As an adult, those that are listening, we have to do the same thing. When God speaks a word, we have to respond. Or we should choose to respond. Whatever he put on the table, he told this girl, your word is get up. Now here she is dead. But she heard the word and her spirit responded. Her God consciousness. Same thing with you as a child, teenager, or a young adult. You have to believe that God, or you have to know that God is using your pastor. And when God uses your pastor to give you a word, if you respond, you're going to be restored. You just do what was revealed through your shepherd. If you believe his prophets, young folk, you're going to prosper. But you got to respond. You got to respond. God used pastor to say, look, we need to start getting involved on fourth Sunday offerings. You need to respond. You need to make it your business. For Sunday, I need to participate. Pastor said we need to do such and such as the Lord revealed it to him. I need to see him doing it, and then I imitate him. That's me responding to the word. And when we respond to the word, young folk, restoration gonna take place. It's life in the word. Jesus told his disciples, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. So if you and I do the word, when it's spoken, we're going to have life. We're going to have restoration. All I got to do is just do that word. Do what the preacher is preaching. And my life is going to get better. All I got to do is just do it. Trust the Lord, cut the cord, and respond to the word. Come on, say that with me. All I got to do is trust the Lord, cut the cord, and respond to the word. All I got to do is trust the Lord, cut the cord, and respond to the word. Y'all ought to say it out without me holding your hand. All I got to do is. Oh, that's it. That's it. Trust the Lord and be restored. How many understand the teaching on this morning? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for Jarius. Woo, you know that man, what happened?
Yeah, yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live. This the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.